A snarl, and they're upon him. An ancient forest spirit at his heels. The only escape is in the Toyota BZ Woodland. John Cho stars in Camping. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro, Micro and Small Cap News with SharePickers.com and me, Justin Waite, on Friday, the 24th of July, 2026. By the way, this is the third time I've tried to record this. It seems to be my wife has impeccable timing. All right, whenever I try to do a podcast on a week, on Fridays pretty much, she fires up the petrol-fired leaf blower. It's a leaf blower. It sits on your back. It's quite a heavy thing. And she looks like Ghostbusters. Big, long arm there. And I don't know why she tends to do that whenever I'm going to record. So I've stopped this three times. But she's now assured me she's finished for the day. Well, she's not finished for the day. She'll still potter around the garden, but with a leaf blower. Okay, coming up. A look at the indices, gold, oil, Bitcoin, three bits of macro news and three bits of micro and small cap news. Remember, this is with SharePickers.com and everything I cover on the website is pretty much small and macro cap companies that are profitable or forecast to become profitable. Why? Because over 60% of the best performers of the last 20 years come from that area of the market. All right, sustainable rises mean they're profitable. And by the way, right now you get 40% off SharePickers Investment Club with the summer special code. Or this code expires, by the way. In fact, when does summer expire? Because this code will expire the end of this month. Where are we? 24th. So we've got January, February, March, April, May, June, July. 31 days. I never understand. I have to use my knuckles to see how many days there are in a month. But 31st of July, so we have, well, I knew that, we have 7 days, a week left, a week today. So anyway, take advantage of this. Go to sharepickers.com, scroll down, use this code, where you see the label, have a coupon. The code is POD40, okay? POD40, no gaps in that. And you get 40% off, and that means membership for a year is 149, down from 249, all right? And that code is as valid as long as you renew. So if you renew, you know, for another 5 years, you'll get 40% off every year. And so it'll be 149, you know, every year for four or five years. Depends, well, as long as you keep renewing. Okay, what should we go with first? Let's look at the indices, shall we? Let me just get my spreadsheet up here. Okay, so for the year, these are the performances. Now, there's been a bit of a sell-off in America. And this is sort of, I think, largely to do with Trump again and also to do with AI and Google, Alphabet, the parent company. But these are the indices. The worst performing indices, this is Europe, America, UK, is the AIM All Share. It is up, though. Last week it was down. So it's for the year, it's up 1.13%. I mean, you can get better return than that in a bank. And of course, the AIM All Share is a stock picker's market. That's why you'll have no fund that'll basically just track the AIM All Share, because it's dreadful. It's basically at a level now where it was at sort of 20 years ago when it was launched. So, you know, you've really got to sort of basically pick stocks from that, you know, because you have some cracking outperformers, but also some cracking underperformers that go bust. So it really is a stock picker's market. FTSE 250 up 6.48%. The FTSE small cap up 6.68%. The FTSE 100 up 7.91%. Stock 600 up 8.52%. Dow Jones up 8.65%. S&P 500 up 9.55%. The FTSE All World Index up 9.96%. But the two top winners here, NASDAQ up 10.54%. It was a lot more than that, wasn't it, I think? No, it's come down about a percent this week. And the Russell 2000, which is the small cap indices in the US, up 19.26%. That's a cracking return for an indices, isn't it? Now, if you look at the KOSPI, the Korean indices, of course, basically the KOSPI is up and down like a, well, like a crazy thing. But it only holds about two big companies. I think two companies, is it Samsung and SP Hynix, take up about 40-50% of that indices, the KOSPI. And so they are semiconductors-related stocks. And so it will do 5% in a day, pretty much. and it's often shut down. In fact, let's look at it today. The KOSPI. So yesterday, the Nasdaq was down 2.15%. Where's the KOSPI? Is it up today? Let's look at the indices. The KOSPI, it was down. This is the KOSPI index. Down 5.72% yesterday. And it's like that on a regular basis. On the 13th of July, it's down 8.95%. On the 23rd of June, it's down 9.99%. But it also has, it is still the best performing indices this year, I think. Let's have a check how far that's gone up. By far it's the best performing indices. So it's up pretty much this year by 58%, even though it's come down by 28% since its highs. For indices, it's mad. And apparently a lot of people are losing money on this because they're doing leverage bets on it. There's a lot of Koreans complaining. But listen, don't do leverage bets. Why are you doing that? It's ridiculous. I remember, I think it was Charlie Munger. When Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger started out, they had a third partner. I didn't know about this, did you? For a while, but apparently this third partner wanted to get rich faster. So he took on leverage and debt to make more money, but he also lost more money when it happened. And that's the story, you know, Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett, very, very careful with their money. Didn't never take on leverage above what they could think. And so they said, you know, you can get rich fast or poor fast. It's up to you. Rich quick, slowly, or poor quickly. And so you take on leverage, sooner or later, you'll be walloped. So only invest the money you have, you know, and money you can afford to lose, that kind of thing. Okay, let's have a look at the sort of Bitcoin, oil, all that stuff. Oil's been on a bit of a wild rally this week. It did a peak from, look at this, in the last couple of weeks, Brent crude has gone from the 2nd of July up to 38%. And it was, in fact, it's coming back a bit today, but it was up 41% because of Iran and Trump. It's not working out there, is it? So, yeah, just look at the S&P, yes, down 2.15%. That was the Nasdaq, sorry, S&P down 1.2%. Let's look at gold here. Gold is trying to find a bottom. And often when you look at this, I covered this in the webinar, but if you like a company or an indices or anything or invest in, and it's in a downtrend, you know, it's a series of lower lows, lower highs, think, where's the bottom here? One of the first early indicators, maybe a bottom may be forming, is when the price crosses the 20-day moving average. Because, of course, the share price, whatever it is, will be below the 20-day moving average if it's in a downtrend. But then it'll touch it a couple of times. But if it breaks that and manages to stay above that, then maybe hits the 50-day moving average, you could say maybe there's a bottom forming here. So I urge you not to get involved in shares whose share price is below that, you know, 20-day moving average at least, and at least get above that, close above that. In fact, gold did close above that on the 22nd of July. It rose by 1.85% to $4,151 an ounce. Yesterday it went down below that. Gold was down 2.45% yesterday. So that's selling off the market. You know, it's supposed to be uncorrelated, really, isn't it, the risk in the markets? But it seems now there's a lot of retail investors in gold, and maybe they're selling when the market goes down. And it's now just below that 20-day moving average. So what you want is a consistent close, a couple of closes, at least two or three closes above that 20-day moving average. And gold is a dip below that. It was one day above it on Wednesday, and now it's just below it. So who knows yet? It could go lower. Anything else? Sort of Bitcoin. Bitcoin's trying to rally. I'm surprised. Bitcoin is, even though the markets are rolling over, it hasn't breached recent lows. Recent lows are sort of 58,000. It's now at 64. It did get to 66 on Monday or Tuesday, but it's now come off the last 3 days. But I think this, I'm not into Bitcoin, I don't hold any crypto, but I think it is showing some good support at around this level, even when the indices are falling down. Of course, if it's a major capitulation in the indices, it may not stay down there. So that's Brent. We've covered all that. That's fine. Okay, let's look at some macro stories. Story number three. The US has imposed, this is Captain Chaos again, the US has imposed new tariffs on 60 trading partners. This popped up. I mean, there's rumours about this happening anyway. I thought, does this guy honestly know what he's doing? It's a bit chaotic, isn't he? The head of Trump, his brain. What the heck is he thinking of? I mean, he's started a war in the Middle East. Did he think, how can I just make it, you know, how can I make people's lives on Earth a bit more chaotic? I know, I'll just start some more tariffs again. The good news is, even though these new tariffs are going to be imposed on 60 trading partners, it's basically a replacement. So those targeted include the UK, China and the European Union will face a tariff of 10% to 12.5% on all goods, accounting for almost all American imports. The tariffs will replace an identical levy, which expires today, are based on claims key economic partners have failed to properly tackle forced labour. As if Trump cares about forced labour. I think he would actively use it if he could bring his operating costs down, wouldn't he? It's just nuts. I don't understand what... America will get richer if there's no tariffs. Full stop. The tariffs are a cost and a barrier to business. I don't understand why it's so in love with tariffs. And the thing is, they've had to reimburse so many companies, companies in America, haven't they, these tariffs, because of that announcement by the judicial saying it's illegal. This is quite interesting. Well, you can be the judge. Story number two, Google parent Alphabet saw its business continue to grow in recent months, yet growing spending on artificial intelligence puts leftover cash into negative territory. So basically, this is the first time Google, since it IPO'd, what was it, back in 2004, something like that? I don't know what it was. But it's the first time in at least a decade where they've gone negative free cash flow. Now, if you know the cash flow statement, there's basically three sections. It's operating cash, investing, and financing. So the top bits of that, you know, is your investing covered by your operating cash flow? Google's has been for over 10 years until now. So Alphabet spending on AI is now expected to hit as much as $205 billion this year, an increase from $190 billion as major tech companies race to build around a new wave of technology. So the thing about this is, there's probably going to be a crash. I'm pretty much, you know, I've got close to 40% in cash in a money market fund. And that's because I believe there will be a crash. I don't know where it'll be. It'll be the AI crash. It'll be like the dot-com bubble. It'll be the same thing. Yes, you can argue the companies are different in this era. They are profitable. They are, in fact, they're not. Google is now not generating cash. It's free cash flow negative. But the amount of money going into this, you'll never get a return on it. It's phenomenal. And if you're thinking, well, these companies must know this, it's not about that with these companies, okay? If you look back at any history and any new technology, there's only one, maybe two winners in any field. So this is a land grab right now. It's like, you know, who won search in the end, internet search? Google. How many people were competing for that? Exactly, just one company pretty much won it. Microsoft tried and they were Bing. Bing Schling. What the heck is Bing? You know, everyone tried. What else was there? There's MSN, MSN, wasn't it? You can't even remember them. There's Go. Do you remember Jeeves? There was Netscape. There's all these things. Yahoo. There's only one winner, Google. And that's why I can't believe that the amount of data Google get, that they won't be a winner in AI. I mean, they will be a winner. What's interesting at the moment is actually, by the way, is that I thought this at the start. I thought, right, okay, if you use AI, you can get rid of 10 workers pretty much. So obviously your costs will go down massively and margins will go up. What they're finding right now is that so much has been spent on, you know, by companies who are laying off people for AI that it's now becoming inefficient. because a lot of times they were using these complex models, these premier sort of top tier models like Claude, you know, ChatGPT, Gemini, to do all tasks. The amount it's costing tokens is prohibitive. But they realize now, okay, for simple tasks, more menial tasks, they're using sort of cheaper Chinese models. But for more complex tasks, they're using the premium models like Claude, Gemini, and ChatGPT. But this is an amazing stat. So where is it? I read this today. Let me just scroll down. Sorry, I hit the wrong bit here. Okay, here we go. Listen to this. There's now data showing that roughly 32 to 33% of hiring managers who eliminated positions for AI automation have already reversed course and are rehiring for those exact roles. So this, you know, future model where we saw everything's going non-human, it isn't the case. And in fact, I was listening to an interview with SAP, you know, a massive European company, on CNBC today. And do you know how many AI models they use? Over 50. So they're doing it properly. They're using, you know, cheaper models for menial tasks that any sort of large language model can do, and then using expensive models for complex tasks. But 50 models. I mean, I didn't know there were that many. And in fact, I had an update for, I use AI on my site, but I had an update this week saying there's a Chinese model coming out, or it's come out. Is it Chemi 3 or something like that? And it's very good. And it's a fraction of the cost of Claude. So these big companies spending lots of money, it's basically a commodity at the end of the day. It would literally, you know, it'll be very competitive field. So even though these companies are spending billions and billions and billions trying to be the AI model, it's not going to happen. So that return on investment will probably not likely happen. And you've got these companies going, you know, free cash flow negative. That's what's going to bring the stock market down, you know, and then they just pay back on all investment. When they start to see, you know, when one of these big hyperscalers starts reducing investment in AI, I think that's when the market will start rolling over. Because even one of them, you know, the amount of chips they have to buy and compute they have to buy, that supports a whole ecosystem, a whole supply chain, huge amounts. So it'd be interesting. And once one starts pulling back, because at the moment, it's always, you know, it's a brinkmanship, isn't it? It's all spending, spending, spending. But once one starts pulling back, I think the others will. And that will be maybe the catalyst for the rollover in the markets. Anyway, that was story number two. Sorry, I banged on there, didn't I? And story number one, of course, it's got to be our new Prime Minister, Andy Burney Bum. He's going to cut business rates for pubs, clubs, live venues by 20%. It follows previous announcements of axing VAT on household electricity bills and reinstating £2 bus cap in most areas of England. I understand the optics here. And in fact, I was having a bit of an argument with Paddy on WhatsApp, because Paddy's a Labour voter, saying it's the optics. He's heading in the right direction. I said, sod the optics. Because axing VAT on electricity bills, do you know how better off we'll be? 86 pence a week. And it's costing, funded for 6 months, but it's costing 850 million. Now, the 20% reduction in business rates on pubs and that, apparently, that's going to be worth about £1,000 a year. What did someone say? Between 20 and 40 quid a week? What is that going to do? I just don't see the point. And these small, trivial, piecemeal, you know, sort of free sweeties. It's pointless. If you're going to do, and also the worry is here, is the optics don't look good, because if you delve into it, they're not even funded. They can't give you a clear explanation as to where the money's coming from. Now, with so much focus on our debt, we are now 100% GDP, our debt is, all right? It was 30%. Going back 20 years. So we've tripled our debt. And we are the most expensive country as far as, you know, debt debt concern in of all developed countries. So essentially what that's saying is all the people who invest in UK debt see us as a bigger risk than Italy, than Greece. They don't trust what's going on here because we have lack of growth. And they're going about it the wrong way. What they need to do is generate growth. When you have growth, people are happy to take on your debt. We don't have growth that much. And why don't we have growth? We look back to where Richard Chandler, this is the worry. And I was saying that Andy Burnham has been there 3 days before he even mentioned business. Business is the most important part of the economy if you want to improve all areas of society. And it's simple economics 101. If you enable business and give them the tools to grow, they will grow. They will employ more people. Those people will come from other jobs, or some will come, you know, off claiming benefit. Those people will spend more in the economy. They're creating more products that need to be created. Other businesses expand. And all those people pay tax. And that business that's generating more income and profits will also pay more tax. You can then spend the increased tax take on improving any part of the country you want to, whether it be, you know, health, education, law enforcement, infrastructure, anything you want. But if you start taxing businesses, of course, it's like putting a noose around someone's neck. You can't breathe. You start raising, you know, increasing regulation. It disables business. It stymies them. And I don't see why Labour can't say that. Business should be front and centre of every decision they make, because that's where the money comes from. It's the golden goose. Don't kill the golden goose, because it lays the egg, all right? So I just think it's quite inept. They've come in, and these three policies they've announced, which, let's be honest, maybe the bus thing will help in certain areas, but those other two policies will have no impact whatsoever. But yet they will cost money, and that money, they haven't fully told us where it's coming from. They've got to be better than that. It's got to be better than just optics. It's got to be the maths. The maths has got to be right. Because our debt, you know, is under... And let's be honest, the only option he has at the moment is to raise taxes or increase debt. And both of those are going to basically slow the economy down. Because if you raise debt... We have a debt pile going up, okay? The cost of that debt will go up. That means mortgages will go up. So the bank now is spending more on debt than most departments. So the interest rate, basically, I think you've got welfare, NHS, and then you've got debt maintenance. Just paying the interest on the debt is about £110 billion a year. That would be the third biggest department in the government. So that means all that money going on that, servicing that debt, can't be spent on departments elsewhere or on the country. You've got to get the debt down and you've got to get growth into the country, full stop. And you do that by helping businesses. To me, it's not that complicated. At the moment, if I was Andy Burnham, I would have come out straight away and said, we're now going to drill in the North Sea because it makes economic sense and environmental sense. So you get these environmental people saying, oh, who basically brainwashing, stop oil, no more oil, complete, no. We'll need oil for the next 10, 20 years at least. In the meantime, we are importing that oil from around the world. The environmental footprint of that is huge. You mentioned chucking LNG or oil on big boats that are diesel-powered boats going around the world, okay? And we're also buying it from Norway, who drill in the same field that companies, UK companies, have licenses to drill in. So if you'd come out and say, right, we're opening the North Sea to oil and gas, and there are two projects that are basically, you know, drill ready pretty much over the next 6 to 12 months. Is it Rosebank and Jackdaw, isn't it? If you start with that, that's a meaningful thing. 86 pence a week off the electricity bills doesn't mean a thing. The price cap will wipe that up more than, I think the price cap will go up by £180 a year. Whereas Andy Burnham is taking what? Is it 40 quid off a year or something ridiculous? On that, doesn't make any sense. It's economics. It just doesn't make any sense. Just think, can't you get someone to help them out? Some advisor who just looks at the maths and say, this doesn't make mathematical sense. And if they start from a mathematics point of view rather than optics point of view, they cannot be criticised Full stop. Anyway, that's it. That's sort of my rant there. It's so annoying that people at the top of the government just spin out all these, oh, some free sweets, everyone. Yes. How are you paying for the sweets? Don't worry about that. It's a free sweet. Well, okay, it's nice to have a sweet, but it's not going to tide me over for the day, is it? You know, I'm going to eat some food as well. It's all this crap positive spin on nonsense policies that have no significance whatsoever, pretty much. Anyway, three bits of news on the Microcap League I looked at this week, and I think I'm going to pick out three companies I think worth looking at, that they are small microcap stocks that are profitable or about to be profitable. So should we do this in, do this in alphabetical order, okay? No order whatsoever. So Elico, which is ELCO ticker, the specialist software provider for the built environment, released a trading update for 6 months ended 30th of June. Trading highlights: annualized recurring revenue increased 16% to 35.5 million. Total recurring revenue up 14% to 16.9 million. And that represents 85% of total revenue. So it's nice to have a company that, you know, recurring revenue is very high. Because, of course, all they have to do is add, you know, come next year, they'll have 85% done already. All they have to do is add to increase 15% or more to, you know, make it better. Headline total revenue for the period increased by 8%. Cash was 15.4 million up from 12.2, and they remain debt free. So I do like Elico. The one thing I'm not quite sure on is basically the valuation of it. And let's be honest, it has come off in recent times. So, and sometimes you get a drift in price, you know, stock prices, and you realize it's a good company. Why is it drifted? So back in 24th of July last year, it was 182 a share. And before this release, it was 114. And it did bump up on that release 16%. So, and it's down today a little bit. So this is 129. Now, the only thing I'm concerned about with Elico is the valuation. Apart from that, it's a great company. I mean, probably it's a software as a service company, high recurring revenue. So sometimes, you know, a PE can be quite harsh. But if you judge companies on a sort of PE, at least you're not going to buy a stock that's overvalued, you know? So looking at the forecast next year, took my top line growth of 4% up to 40.5 million, profit up 242% to 4.5 million. So that's 10%, 11% per year. And that's net margin 11%, but they are on a PE of 24. So, you know, okay, it's not cheap, is it? Nevertheless, it's a very good company. So if you're not too worried about the valuation, then it's worth a look. ELCO is ticker. Next, I've watched this company for a while, okay? Phonix. FNX. The mobile payments and messaging provider release an update on trading for the year ended 30th of June. Now, to explain what they do, have you ever text BBC Children in Need or any competition on the radio, on TV this morning? I didn't even watch that rubbish. But I tell you what, if you want to get depressed, watch something like This Morning. It's like, absolutely, is that the midday show, I think, with Dermot O'Leary, and where they have various presenters? But it's such bland crap, isn't it? Just fakery. Just smiling, talking nonsense. Anyway, all those competitions you see, even voting for like Love Island, all that, the technology behind all that is supplied by this company, Phonix. FNX, all right? Now, these are the financial highlights for the year. Gross profit and adjusted EBITDA in full year 26 have grown slightly ahead of market expectations. Always a good sign. Now, on the website, my website, sharepickers.com, it picks up any company that releases or announces these kind of phrases, any phrases to suggest they're above market expectations. Why is that good? Because the market is expecting one thing and they come out with a better results or better numbers than the market is expecting. Now, you normally get these released in trading updates and also be reiterated, you know, a month later in the full year results. But the best thing to look out for are trading updates, and that's why my website scans every single RNS that comes out from the London Stock Exchange and looks for certain phrases. There's a multiple variation of these phrases, but you tend to find, and I've done studies on this, when a company comes out with a surprise like this, it's the surprise that moves the share price, so it'll jump, and then it may come back a little bit. But as with profit warnings, they don't tend to exist on their own. So when a company starts doing well, it seems to be on a roll and getting better. So they're worth paying attention to. So this is Phonics come out. Gross profit for the year increased by 12.9% to 21 million versus 18.6. Adjusted EBITDA grew 11% to 16.2 million. Total payment volume increased by 8% to 303.3 million. So operating highlights, Phonics and Global. I used to work for Global, actually. I think it was before it was Global. They are the media and entertainment group behind Heart, Capital Radio, Radio X, have extended their contract for a further 3 years following a relationship spanning almost a decade. So don't know if you listen on Heart or any of those stations. They often on a Friday. Is it most days? I think Heart would do like giving away £1 million. It's all done via this company's software. And remember, this kind of software has to be, you know, very secure, very accurate. It can't, you know, be giving anyone data away, but you can't mess up with these things. And this company's been doing this with them for a long time. So you can safely say it's a trust thing. You know, there's probably lots of people who come up with this kind of software, but until you do it in a live environment, on live radio, where seconds count, everything counts, security counts, you know, it's high compliance. So they've been doing that for a long time. ITV's extended its contract with Phonics for live broadcast interactivity services, with partnerships now entering its 10th year and continuing to cover flagship programmes, including I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Love Island, Britain's Got Talent, Good Morning Britain, This Morning, and ITV Sport. So all the big shows, they do these, you know, texting, so competitions or voting, that's Phonics's software. And apparently, because advertising revenues get squeezed a little bit, and of course, advertising revenues very much down to sentiment, isn't it? If you're going through a dodgy patch economically, companies tend to pull back their advertising budgets. But these games are consumer-facing, and people always love to win prizes. So they're quite, I say, insulated a little bit from the ups and downs of the economy, you know? But what's quite exciting, you know, Phonics have been pretty much in the UK for many years, okay? And it's almost like proving their model, proving their, you know, they've got years and years worth of data now and security and all that stuff and compliance. They know it works very well indeed. By the way, they're also on Channel 5, Channel 4, all that stuff. They're now going for international expansion, which is good. So in Portugal, Phonics has launched second overseas European market following Ireland's launch in June 2022. So they launched in June in UK, then in Ireland. Now they're going to Portugal. In Switzerland, Phonics' third overseas European market, a pilot of interactive services was successfully conducted in February and March 2026 in partnership with CH Media, one of the country's leading private media companies. A second pilot is scheduled for mid-August 2026 to build on this early activity. So you can see it. You've got a moat. Once you get, they don't take these lightly. There's a lot of testing that has to go on to get it right, because you can't make mistakes once it goes live. It has to be 100% perfect. So they've done already two successful pilots, and they go with the third mid-August. I don't know if there's any more after that, but you'd assume, you know, after three pilots, maybe they'll go for the full whack. Now, they're also going into France. That's a big market. Phonics is fourth overseas European market. The group has established a legal entity and made further hires, including an experienced professional with deep knowledge of the French market and is progressing mobile network connectivity. That's another thing. As a moat, you have to have connectivity with the mobile service operators, because, of course, that's how the payments are done. The board considers France to be a high potential market for Phonics over the coming years. The mobile network connectivity has also been established in a fifth overseas European markets. They don't say what that is, but who knows? It could be Spain, big Germany, it's a big market, it could be Italy, with a launch targeted for towards the end of FY 2027. And the reason why I quite like this company is, like I said, they're good value, they've got a rock solid balance sheet, they've got cash, net cash of, where is it? I think 16 million. Cash. So rock solid there. They're looking at modest growth top line over the next couple of years. So it's 4% top line growth for. Oh, hang on. No, sorry. That was Illico. I thought Phonics had more cash than that. Hang on. Yeah, Phonics have net cash of 22 million. All right. They're looking at it's better growth than Illico. So the growth for 2026 of 11% to 80.6 million. Net profit margin of 14%, 11.2 million profit there. That puts them on a PE of 15, EV earnings of 13. Now for 2027, they're looking at 8% top line growth to 86.8 million, 6% net profit growth to 11.9 million. That puts them on a PE of 14 and EV earnings of 12. And for 2028, when I think now you start getting the international markets kicking in, because it took a while, of course, but 10% top line growth to 95.9 million. Net profit growth of 11% to 13.2 puts them on a PE of 13 and an EV of 11. And I think for a company like this with a big cash pile, they pay a dividend above 5%, close to 6%. They generate lots of cash. They have 33% of the market share in the UK. They're building on international markets, a software business. I think that's reasonable value. I think it's good growth, reasonable. I think what's not like? I mean, the chart's been a downtrend for a little bit. But now I think on that trading update, it's quite impressive. It gapped up and broke through the 200-day moving average. Do your own research. But it's an interesting company worth looking at. Okay? And finally, a recovery play, I suppose. This is the Mission Group, ticker TMG, a collective of sector-leading creative sports and MarTech agencies, provides a trading update for 6 months ended 30th of June. H1 26 performance was in line with board's expectations, with improved headline operating profit before adjustments expected to be up 10%, 2.4 million, and H1 revenue expected to be 32.5 million versus 34.1. Headline profit for tax is expected to be 27% higher at 1.4 million versus 1.1. Looks like they've had a rocky path, TMG, but it looks like they're coming out of it and going back to profit. Just look on the website here. They've got a market cap of only, 18 million. Enterprise value 27. So they've got a bit of debt. And like I said, last year, 31st 12th 25, for 25 year, they made a loss. Revenue was down 15% to 162 million. But they did a net loss of 19.1 million versus a profit previously of 1.2. But for this year, it's looking like they're going to do a top line 70 million. They have sold, I think, one of the businesses to, what did they sell it to? Was it Brave Bison? I can't remember. I think it was. Top line is going to drop because they sold one of the businesses to 70 million. But they're going to be making a profit of 4.5 million versus a loss of 19.1. Now, this puts them on a PE of 4. And the EV earnings is 6. That's cheap. And then for 27, it looks like it's going to be top line growth of 2%, net profit growth of 31% to 5.9 million. And that puts them on a PE of 3, EV earnings of 5. Again, if they can hit those forecasts, that looks very cheap. But like I said, they have gone through some wobbles recently. So, you know, whenever you transition from a dodgy period, it's never smooth sailing. In fact, business is never smooth sailing anyway. But let's look at the chart here. They did zoom up on that, I think, 2 days ago when they announced that. They went up 22%. But it's still way off the highs. They've come down from a long way. A couple of years back, in 2020, they're £110 a share. They're now 19 pence a share. But even back in January 25, they were 32% a share. So I think maybe worth a look. It has punched above the 200-day moving average, but it's hitting this sort of 20 pence resistance price. So if you can close above that, that may be, you know, a move, you know, into an uptrend. But like I said, everything I mentioned here is not investment advice. Please do your own research. Don't forget Pod 40, P-O-D 40. If you want more information on these companies, like, you know, broker comments, all that stuff, then please go to sharepickers.com. Scroll down to the sign-in bit where you see have a coupon. That's what it says there. Click that. A little box appears. Type in POD40, your name, your email address, and your payment details, and you'll get 40% off. It'll just cost you £149 for the year. And if you renew it next year, it'll still be £149 rather than £249. And like I said, this special summer discount is only available until the end of this month, which is 1 week left. 7 days, take advantage. That's it. All right. And just to put it in perspective, £149 a year is the equivalent of £2.88 a week. That's half a pint of beer. That's all. Also, a jumbo saveloy from the chippy. And or it's, you know, it's 40% cheaper than a Big Mac. And like I said, one feeds your belly and destroys your health. The other feeds your mind and improves your wealth. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, sharepickers.com, POD40, no gaps, all capitals. Put that in there, get the discount, and speak you next week. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.